You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM.
And welcome to Elevated Radio. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host and welcoming to the show right now out of Vancouver, Canada. She is the owner at Core Belief Engineering Limited. You can reach out to her, lovely lady by the name of Ellie Roselle. You can either ring her up by phone or visit her online. The website, corebelief.ca, that's C-O-R-E, corebelief.ca, or give them a call, 604-536-7402. Ellie Roselle, welcome to the program today, and how are you?
Thank you, Rick. I'm just doing great.
All right. Well, great to hear, and thank you for taking the time and jumping on board with us, Ellie. Now, before we get started, do me a favor. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and the work that you do as the owner of Core Belief Engineering.
Okay. Well, what I do these days is I do live counseling one-on-one with individuals, and I teach as well, although I'm not certifying people right now. What I do is I work with people changing to discover, uncover, and transform core beliefs that are holding them back from living their lives to the fullest.
Uh-huh.
And it's good, healthy, fun work. People get a chance to really know themselves in the process of this, and it goes a lot further than just behavior change.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Is this something you've always done? Because I feel like the way you phrased it, the what you're doing now kind of statement, means you were doing something
right.
else.
Of course. I'm semi-retired right now, so I've cut back a little bit because there's a few bucket list things I want to do. But I was teaching full-time for years, for like 27 years.
Oh, okay.
My method, this core belief engineering method, I was teaching basic, intermediate, and advanced courses and training and certifying people to do this process if they should find it, you know, their desire to make it a career or even to incorporate it into their other practice. So basically that's what I was doing full-time. Now I'm only available part-time for more professional development and personal mentoring and speaking engagements, some group work, but mostly I'm doing private work.
Okay.
With one-on-one, yeah.
All right, so now let me ask you this. What led you down this road to do this kind of work to begin with?
Well, it is... that's a good question because I've often asked myself that too. the real motivation, was that I was there were two big ones. One is that I was really fascinated with the mind ever since I was a little kid. What was possible, what was possible, period. And then when I was stuck in the very serious case of anorexia and bulimia for like almost 20 years, and nobody was helping me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to the hospital, I saw psychiatrists, psychologists, alternative therapists, et cetera, and basically nothing worked.
Right.
And I was just, and of course, now that I look back on it, I realize I was dealing with an addiction and maybe, you know, should have done more addiction type of things, but I also know that I had gone to Overeaters Anonymous and it had basically, was just wallowing around in, you know, the same thing.
Right.
So I started experimenting and it just, a synchronicity of things fell into place, and I accidentally cured myself one day. and it was like, and I had always wanted to be a psychiatrist or a shrink, but do you know, I had kind of given that up because of the fact that I had been to university. I was very disillusioned with what they were teaching in psychology. I just couldn't believe we were just rats.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was back in the late 60s, early 70s, so there wasn't as much available. And so I got involved in this experimentation, jamming with people who were like myself, not necessarily certified or degreed, but who were trained in various different alternative methods. And I accidentally cured myself, and it lasted. It really was permanent. And I was, holy smoke, you know, if this is possible, what can I do?
Yeah.
And people who knew me were noticing these changes and going, what did you do? And I said, well, I'm not sure, but it worked. So they asked me to please, you know, try it on them. Do it with their kid or with some friend of theirs. So I said, okay, as long as you don't have me, you know, expecting anything, because I really wasn't claiming to be a miracle worker or anything. And I hadn't, you know, I had always loved this kind of work, but I just hadn't seen myself as a professional. And then it started to happen. 2 years of just taking free clients, volunteers, and saying, okay, what can we do? What can we do? And by the end of a year and a half, I was starting to really have a model. Like, this is working. We're getting incredible results from people, even in the early stages. And I'm going, holy, this is, you know, I felt deeply moved. I felt pulled. I felt challenged and invited by the powers that be to just continue this, because it would be a shame for it to go to waste.
Well, that's pretty powerful. I mean, like you said, you accidentally, it kind of sounds funny, you know, that you accidentally cured yourself, but it's not uncommon, and it's not unlike someone like, say, what do you call it, Thomas Edison, who, you know, fumbled around, 1,000 times? He couldn't figure out how to make a light bulb work until he finally figured it out.
Right.
You know, exactly. It's along those lines where, you know, you knew you were trying to do something, and then all of a sudden it actually worked, and you're like, okay, which method did I just use that got this result?
Right. And you know what? The method that I used was totally not anything I had learned. It was kind of... Of course, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and everything we know is always, you know, contributing to what we do.
Right.
But this was, you know, and if had it been just a, you know, following someone's formula, I would have just said, hey, thank you guys, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm still saying thank you for their contribution. But when I looked at what we had done and started to reverse engineer it, this was not being done. This was not being done at that time.
So you created your own light bulb.
Yes, exactly. and it was repeatable. That was the exciting part, is that it wasn't just a one-time event.
Right. Well, and I think
it was
that's
repeatable.
Well, that I think becomes the biggest part there, is that, you know, it's repeatable. That's how you know you figured something out. Like you said, you know, you had training in other things, but nothing was working for you in those respects until you made some changes. Because let's face it, you know what, Ellie? Everybody's different. So people are going to respond slightly differently. Their bodies are going to be different. Their thought patterns are going to be different, right?
Boy, have I found that out. Over and over and over again.
Yeah,
as soon
no
as
doubt.
I think I've got it all figured out, I find out I don't have it all figured out.
Well, it sounds like you have a great process that you're now using to work with people one-on-one and that you do teach, right?
Yes.
So now, talk to me about when you are working one-on-one with someone. When they come in front of you for the first time, Ellie, what is that like? What do you got to do? What do you have to take from them to say, okay?
Okay, I will give you that. I'll try to summarize it as efficiently as possible here.
Okay.
But first of all, I don't even take a client or a student until I've personally interviewed them.
All right.
Like, because I just know that, again, because it is so unique to every person, that I can tell certain signs that say this person isn't ready, or this person really needs to do something else first. So that's number one.
Okay.
When they finally make an appointment with me for actual core belief engineering work, we'll sit down, I'll get some background, and then we actually find what is it we really think is realistic to accomplish today. And we'll make a contract that's completely changeable as we move along. It might say, I don't like that contract later on, or I want to add to it, or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So it's a conscious contract. This is what we want to accomplish. And then we start a delicate dance of the person's conscious, with the person's conscious mind and the part of the person that is in charge, or even parts of the person that are responsible for the phenomenon of behavior that they want to change.
Right.
And it could be bad relationships. It could be a fear of public speaking. It could be anything, a phobia. It could be just insecurity, poor self-esteem. Many, many. The list goes on forever. It could be a disease, but make a contract. We start to work with the part of the mind that is responsible for the problem, and to negotiate with it to help it find another way to help it transform, basically. But we're looking for beliefs. Now, there are, you know, there's lots of different processes that negotiate with voice dialoguing or parts. But I've noticed that it doesn't matter after 30 years. I've noticed that we ask unique questions. There seems to be a core belief inside of every therapist, inside of every method. There are core beliefs. And that affects what and how far that process will go.
Right.
And I'm not saying anybody's deficient in their core beliefs, but they are different. And so consequently, this ends up, for example, this process that I do, this internal guided inner dialogue, could be several hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is the part that really is unusual, is that I don't go for the 50-minute hour. One of the beliefs in some of the methods is that the faster, the better. You must do this very fast. You must do this in 45 minutes or less. And I love that. I wish I could do it in 45 minutes or less. But I have found the truth is that to do the kind of profound, lasting change that I know can happen, I take whatever time is necessary.
Right.
In my younger, less experienced years, I might have taken 12 hours with somebody in one sitting. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore. But it didn't matter. We were going for effectiveness, and now the efficiency part has come in.
Right.
And so I would say average session I do with somebody is 2 to 5 hours, and you know, averaging three to four. And that's still a long session.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But people come in, we've got that contract, we've got a place to go with it, and we find many layers of things that are holding the problem together. Like, it's not just one little core belief. It could be several. And then there's traumas, and there's PTSD. There's, you know, various different things that affect the ability to access what is needed.
Right.
And so I have a lot of different maneuvers, techniques within the technique that help heal, to help move what's stuck. And sometimes it's time to stop and let it soak, you know, to let it process itself and then come back a few days later. Sometimes we just drive through and finish.
Right.
It really depends on the person's stamina, their motivation, and what kind of things they've run into while we were in this process. It's a total adventure.
It's not like anything I've ever heard of before. Again, it's called Core Belief Engineering Counseling. We're talking with our guest, Ellie Rosell. She is the creator of this thing. She's also an author. I see there's a book on your website. We'll talk a little bit about that after the break. So that congratulations.
Sure.
It's always tough to write a book. Believe me, everybody says, "Oh, I want to write a book," but you know what? Actually, sitting down and doing it, that's a big deal. So we'll talk a little bit about
years.
That.
It took
see,
5 years.
Everybody, and they say everybody's got at least one in them. And let's hope this probably isn't the only one. Again, we're talking with our guest, Ellie Rosell, the owner at Core Belief Engineering. If you want to find out more about this incredible process she's been talking about, reach out to her either by phone or through the website, corebelief.ca. That's core, C-O-R-E. belief.ca, or give her a call, 604-536-7402. Quick break, more with her after these words right here on Elevated Radio.
The next step to following your dreams is closer than you think. KDMA and the Actors Studio is an established, reputable talent management and services agency based on the East Coast. Actors, models, singers, voiceover artists, and live entertainers trust their careers with KDMA. Not only does KDMA advise and market talent, they provide talent with the necessary tools to be successful in today's demanding entertainment industry, offering in-house classes, coaching, photo and video services, reel and audio production, showcases, seminars, and more. KDMA makes talent development and advancement simple and affordable. For more information about talent representation and services at KDMA and the Actors Studio, visit kdmaandtheactorsstudio.com. That's kdmaandtheactorsstudio.com. Let KDMA take your career to the next level.
Here's farmer and businessman James Wood.
We farm about 3,500 acres. There's pipelines everywhere. The contractor working on my property did not have the lines located before he began work, and it resulted on a strike on a natural gas pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio.
And welcome back to Elevated Radio again. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host, and we are sitting with our guest, Ellie Rozelle, a very lovely lady based out of Vancouver, Canada. Her company, Core Belief Engineering. She does one-on-one counseling. She also does some teaching as well. Reach out to her through the website, corebelief.ca. That's C-O-R-E, corebelief.ca. Or give her a call, 604-536-7402 to find out more. And again, Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It's sure my pleasure.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting, you know, listening to what you've come up with and this core belief engineering process that you've, I guess, developed over the course of not only your own trials, but now that you've kind of put it all together, that you're able to offer it to people to teach as well, because obviously you found a lot of success helping other people with this method.
Yes, we have. I say we because there's a few of us. But yes, it's hard to retire completely because we're good at what we do and it's working.
Right.
And people need us.
And I'm sure you don't feel like it's, I'm trudging off to work because, you know, the satisfaction you're getting.
That's right. That's right. And if with this kind of work, you can work out of your own home if you want to.
It's not like you're out there digging ditches on a hot summer day.
That's right. You know, if I had to, I would, but
right.
I don't have to.
well, you know what? That brings up an interesting question now because, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about things like feeling stuck, not being able to move forward.
Right.
Are things related to like career and relationship? Are those things you can help people with?
Yes. Yes, it is. Very much so. Maybe to give you an example, a person has come to me in the past who just sabotaged every time they started getting money.
Right.
He was an entrepreneur type, and just simply, every time he'd make it, he'd do something that just caused him to fail.
Right.
And he finally got an idea that maybe he was causing this. He wasn't just a victim of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to work on his, what we would call his money part, the part of him that's in charge of his, in a sense, survival with money. And we found out that it actually communicated with us fairly clearly and offered that he was still embarrassed at some level or still afraid to do any better than his older brother. His older brother, when he was younger, had intimidated him and made him feel inadequate.
Right.
And so every time he was approaching success, there was a fear his brother was going to sabotage him. Now, this was unconscious. He was not aware of it. But when we talked to the part, this came up very clearly, and he was like blown away that, oh my goodness, that's still there bothering me. And we did some healing. We did our work with that and changed that belief and shifted that pattern. And, of course, always the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And I waited a few weeks before I heard back from him, and he said he was feeling better. And within a few weeks after that, he'd started a new enterprise, and a couple years later, it was very successful.
Wow.
And he was able to not sabotage himself. And around money, too, a person who had had a very successful career came to me. And he was saying, I really need to retire, but I just can't do it. He says, I need to retire. My health, the doctor, everything says I need to retire, but I just cannot. It's almost like I'm a compulsive workaholic or something. And so we went to work on the part of him that made him afraid to quit or made him afraid to retire. And we found out that, first of all, and he knew this wasn't unconscious, but he didn't realize the effect it had on him, that when he was a little child, they were dirt poor and they had trouble getting enough food on the table.
Right.
And his mother was a single mother. He saw the rich kids in school and he decided then, I am never going to be poor. That was it. I'm never going to be poor.
Right.
Well, that was a wonderful decision because look where it took him. He had a multi-million-dollar business. But then the fear was that if he quit, he'd lose it all and he'd go back to being destitute.
Right.
And that was, it was an irrational, unconscious fear that he was not consciously aware of. We were able to deal with that with the little 10-year-old boy who made that decision and help it update and change its basic core belief. And he retired shortly after, and I didn't hear too much from him after that because he was off and away.
He was too busy being retired and being successful and feeling good about it.
That's right, exactly. Right. But those are two kinds of examples of people that have actually showed up in my world. Many others. There's so many variations. But money, and then career. As far as career, as you mentioned, I'm not a career counselor.
Right.
But I do. If people are unable to decide, or they're lost, or a lot of it's around self-confidence, a lot of it's around belief in themselves, and oftentimes people will get stuck on the ladder of corporate ladder and just get stuck there in the middle and not be able to move because, again, confidence issues, which are always based on beliefs. So those kind of things we've been able to untangle and heal. And help people to, again, move in the direction they want to move.
Right.
Once in a while, I'll find somebody who wants to move up the ladder, and they find out that they don't even want to do that at all. They want to go off and start their own company.
Right.
And they do. You know, so it's not for me to decide what success means.
But you're helping them to identify it.
Exactly. What is it they need, and what is it they will really fulfill them?
All right.
And, you know, everybody has some kind of a gift to give to the world and to themselves and their families, and it's frustrating when you can't find it.
Right. Now, real quick, before we jump to the book, what about something that could be, say, health-related? Can you help people dealing with that?
Yes. First of all, I got to really be clear. I absolutely would never suggest that somebody, you know, replace medical or, you know, traditional psychological treatment for what I'm offering offering, because what I see is what I do is a niche.
Mm-hmm.
Every illness, every disease has a mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspect to it. And, of course, our modern society, our modern culture treats and focuses on the physical,
right,
which is good. You got to focus on the physical. You know, all of the wonderful advancements in medicine and even some of the corruption, you know, whatever, it's still very, very valuable.
Right.
And if you completely ignore conventional medicine, what they can offer, you might be missing out on something that would save your eyesight or your life or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of important to not. But the physical is what we're all seem to be focused on, is the physical symptoms. Even alternative health is very symptom oriented towards the physical. And I've said that in every disease, there's also, or every symptom, whatever it might be, there's an emotional bath in which it swims.
Right.
And in that emotional bath, it's feeding the energy to that malady. It's feeding the energy to that dis-ease that might, say, certain stresses. And they say, oh, yeah, you have stress. You know, that's sort of typical.
Yeah.
And
who
reduce
doesn't?
Your stress. Learn meditation.
Right.
And that's valid. And sometimes you can meditate, but in terms of making deep change, I don't know. Meditation doesn't always get there. It does help a lot, and it does help people become more conscious and more relaxed. But if there's still a part in there that has unfinished business, it may be somatizing something into the body. And of course, there's social aspects that can be a part of the equation. But I always say, we work with Core Belief Engineering. We work with the mental emotional aspect of a
right.
disease. We don't claim to do the physical part. We don't, you know, et cetera. We just simply we will help with the emotional, spiritual, mental part of that.
All right. Well, you know what?
It does make a difference.
I was going to say, it sounds like there are a lot of different applications for your method, Ellie. So that's great to hear that, you know, you can help people pretty much across the spectrum, depending on what they're dealing with. Now, real quick.
Think about it, there's beliefs about everything.
Right.
Everything we believe in is, you know, spiritually what we believe, you know, what we believe about our bodies, what we believe. Some people believe that conventional medicine is the only valid way to go, and that's it, that they won't let anything else in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, Yeah.
Which means that it's probably going to be hard for them to actually get a chance to work with you, because I'm sure they have to be open to other ways.
That's right. This would be, they would just call this quackery.
Right. All right. Well, we're not calling it that. We're calling it Core Belief Engineering with our guest. Ellie Roselle. All right. And before we wrap up, tell me a little bit about the book, Changing the Mind, Healing the Body.
Well, this is actual where the rubber hit the road. These were sessions that I did in my experimental days. I still am experimenting, by the way, but I taped and took extensive notes on different clients that had physical complaints. Uh-huh. And basically each of these eight stories in the book are case studies of, it's like you're sitting on my shoulder and watching me work with this client. One of them had cancer, one had ME, I forget what it stands for, but it's a tired, you know, one of those fatigue diseases.
Right.
One was AIDS, one was bulimia,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. And at each one of them, the person goes from the beginning to the end of the session, and maybe a couple of sessions. And of course, the book had to condense. You can't put 8 hours of work into that could fill a book,
right?
But and it also would get tedious. But the book was condensed from actual sessions that I did, and the results that came afterwards, and it's very truthful, like some of them were not as successful as we wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very clearly in the book. And some were very successful. And the book was, I had the pleasure of working with a professional writer on it, and who has since actually died. I'm so sorry, I miss her terribly. But her name was Susan Harrison.
Uh-huh.
And she was my you might say, my co-writer, my ghostwriter,
right,
who helped, since I wasn't a professional writer. I'm getting a lot better, but then I wasn't, and she helped put it together in a brilliant way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's readable, by the average person.
Right. And again, I guess a lot of it really does come down to your mental attitude, right? Because you got to, you know, if you're going to think, oh, I'm never going to recover, guess what? You probably won't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's about changing your mind, changing the way you think about things, because what you think about, you bring about, Ellie.
Right. That's very true. And the thing is, the core belief engineering has cousins in the therapy field.
Mm-hmm.
Of like cognitive therapy is wonderful. It helps people see where their logic is all wonky. I see it as a conscious mind guide, and I think that helps people a lot.
Right.
I've done a little myself, and I think it's very, very valid. Yet it doesn't get down into those little parts that are still waiting for help.
Right.
Those little guys in there that are you at 5 years old, who hasn't ever had a chance to finish finish the business that was happening then.
Right. Kind of understanding what it was learning back then.
That's right. And what you believed back then, because even what you may believe something very healthy right now, but there may be some lurking old things that have not been aired, have not been cleared, have not been opened up and renegotiated.
Well, you know what? It sounds like there's a lot of great stuff in the book. Again, it's called Changing the Mind, Healing the Body, 8 Case Studies in Transformational Belief Change Therapy. It's by our guest, Ellie Roselle. If you want to find out more about her, and, of course, her process called Core Belief Engineering. She does one-on-one counseling. She can also do some teaching as well here and there, depending. Reach out to her. Best way to do that is through her website, corebelief.ca. That's C-O-R-E, belief, corebelief.ca. Or give her a call directly and find out more, 604-536-7402. Ellie, a lot of great stuff today. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. This has been a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, me too, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a great day. We'll talk in a week. Until then,
great.
We'll be back with more on Elevated Radio right after these words.
Thank you.
You're locked into Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio FM.